This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports. Sunrise at 5:06, sunset at 8:24 on Friday, June 24, 2016. From the Gloucester Times, Ray Lamont writes that all of the production and all of the production equipment at the Gloucester Engineering Plant will be headed for Connecticut by the end of the year. Davis Stanford, the parent company of Gloucester Engineering, is expanding its production facilities in Pawcatuck, Connecticut. The company acquired the Gloucester-based plastics development company last September and will be moving all remaining production equipment to Connecticut from 11 Dory Road by the end of 2016, according to Ray Lamont. Davis Stanford has landed a $1.3 million economic grant from the state of Connecticut to add 15,000 square feet of production space and 30 production jobs to its site in Pawcatuck, located along the southern New England coast and just over the state line from Rhode Island. Crowley, Davis Stanford representative Debbie Crowley confirmed Thursday that the last production equipment remaining in Gloucester will be moved out by the end of the year. Crowley said Davis Stanford plans to keep an engineering and sales force in Gloucester after the move. She said she's not sure how many Gloucester production jobs will be part of the 30 added in Connecticut or how many jobs will remain here through engineering and sales, that is, in Gloucester. Murphy has said the Gloucester facility employed about 50 people at the time of the acquisition last September, according to Ray Lamont. Last school year, Beverly High School implemented a mentoring program for seniors to participate in local internships at the end of their senior year. Beverly High School Assistant Principal Dan Bauer explains how the program was created.
Honestly, our principal, Sean Gallagher, deserves the credit because it was his vision that connected the college and career readiness piece together and looking for a way where students can end their high school career and connect to those goals. So we did a lot of research on this. Masconomets had one for many, many years. When I taught over there, you know, I had a chance to participate as a mentor and saw how great that was. But we were fortunate that we studied for 5 years. We wanted to make a program that actually would fit Beverly High School the best. We actually looked at Marblehead's program. They have a senior project that we took elements of their programming for our use. Manchester has a SCORE program, which is an internship program. They've had it for over 20 years. Masconomet, Malden High School has an established program. So we took elements of each one of those to create a program that would fit us best here, which would be unique to Beverly. And this is the second year that we've run it, and the participation was outstanding. But more importantly, the feedback from the teachers and from the students was that the 4 weeks that they were on their own was more than valuable. Many actually connected to potential college and career goals. Some actually were able to attain summer jobs, which is awesome. But more importantly, they all gained from that experience.
That's current Beverly Assistant Principal Dan Bauer, who has been selected as the Marblehead High School's new principal starting on July 1. Sean Horgan writes in the Gloucester Times that the state environmental police say they expect to be particularly vigilant this weekend in enforcing laws related to drinking and boating, particularly in Gloucester, as the St. Peter's Fiesta is underway and good weather is predicted. Major Patrick Morin said his state law enforcement agency, which has a regular presence in Gloucester, will coordinate with local and other state law enforcement agencies, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard, to make the weekend as safe as possible for the boating public. He's quoted as saying by Sean Horgan, "There's a perception that boating and alcohol go together. In reality, alcohol is the number one contributing factor of fatalities related to boating." Morin said the environmental police will be joined on the water by Gloucester police and fire personnel and the Coast Guard in an effort that dovetails with a national boating sobriety program called Operation Dry Water. The Fiesta schedule of events for Friday and Saturday. Friday at 2 p.m., Fiesta Show's Carnival opens at St. Peter's Square. At 4:30 p.m., the women's Seine boat races take place at Pavilion Beach. That'll be in conjunction with the Friday Greasy Pole Walk at Pavilion Beach off Stacy Boulevard. We'll have that broadcast on msonewsports.com. It will also be on the St. Peter's Fiesta app. The live streaming video will be on the app, St. Peter's Fiesta app. It is a free download. At 6:30 p.m., musical entertainment prior to the formal opening ceremonies at St. Peter's Square, 7:30 p.m. Friday. The formal opening ceremonies will include the arrival of the St. Peter's statue at the square from the St. Peter's Club, and from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m., music by Ellen LaRusso and Seabreeze at the main stage altar at St. Peter's Square. Many, many activities going on Saturday at St. Peter's Fiesta, and we invite you to take a look at the Gloucester Daily Times to check out those schedules of events and Sunday's events as well. Well, today marks the 50th anniversary of the day the Rolling Stones came rolling into the North Shore. Bill Newell has the story.
Yes, Rick, it was June 24th, 1966. And on a front page story in today's Daily Item of Lynn, Steve Krause writes in a story entitled,
"You can't always get what you want."
You can't always get what you want. He writes about some of the events that almost made this thing not happen at all. The Rolling Stones were climbing the music charts when the band began their tour in February of that year, and 2 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, where they did two shows a night. They were back at it again, beginning March 26 with a Northern European tour that wrapped up April 5th in Denmark. While that was happening, on April 1, the group released Aftermath, which included the Stones' Stapled Under My Thumb, Painted Black, Lady Jane, and On to the U.S. versions. 3 weeks later, they would be at Manning Bowl in Lynn on June 24th of 1966. There were a few problems with the crowd as it broke through the line. 75 policemen were hired that night on that detail. Here is just one of the eyewitness accounts of some of the problems they had with the crowd that night. Bob Burke, former owner of Standard of Lynn, said that the only problem for the police was that the wind was blowing back toward them and the gas never affected the fans in front. The tear gas went off and the police had to run for cover from the gas blowing back toward them. When the smoke cleared, there were 4 injuries, 3 arrests. The injured included several folks from around the North Shore. The Item had reported that the patrons left the stadium in such a hurry that they left broken chairs and articles of clothing behind. As for Keith Richards, his recollection began and ended with the tear gas. Things got a little bit blurry in the 60s, he said, with the biography Tear Gas That Was the Other Continuous Smell of the 1960s. Can't say I miss it. Steve Krause writing in today's Daily Item about the day the Rolling Stones came to Manning Field in Lynn. I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All right, Bill. Thank you. And finally, from the Salem News, Dustin Luca writes that Salem's Mayor Kim Driscoll has asked the City Council Thursday night to schedule a meeting, tentatively for Thursday, June 30, to unveil and discuss the second version of F.W. Webb's expansion plans on Bridge Street in Salem. The project has seen a tumultuous process unfold so far this year, beginning in January with numerous meetings and well over 20 hours of contentious public hearings on the subject. The process came to a crashing halt a couple of months ago when a zoning vote from the council that would benefit the project fell flat and was pulled off the table as it seemed destined for failure, one vote shy of passage. Since then, the company has been revising its plans to address feedback from residents in the Federal Street neighborhood. Those plans have so far only been seen by Driscoll and City Councilors Heather Famico, the ward councilor representing the neighborhood, and Josh Turiel, the council's president. That's a quick check on news. This is MSONewsports.com.